The struggle for funds for scientific research continues. Here's Sally Smith and a scheme from a PhD we flagged in the Science Show this year.
Hello, I'm Sally Smith, a scientist with over three decades' experience in several areas of the public and private hospital systems and in surgical research. Recently, I heard from a Sydney medical research group that funds enabling the production of innovative nanoparticles, which are crucial components of their experiments, will be withdrawn. This means that their work on a promising cancer treatment will have to shut down. These nanoparticles have the potential to deliver low toxicity treatment for cancer patients. They are customized to carry anti-cancer drugs or diagnostic imaging agents and have been successfully developed at CSIRO over the last decade. This work was discussed here on The Science Show back in January by PhD candidate Jericho Bulinardi. The use of nanoparticles to carry chemotherapy is an amazing idea and the results are outstanding. They show great efficacy gains beyond the reach of conventional methods to a level where their adoption is compelling to oncologists. First, they overcome the limitations of the usual trade-off between efficacy and toxicity by selectively targeting cancer cells and remaining inactive till they're absorbed by the cancer cells. Secondly, their biophysical and biochemical constitution makes them ideal vessels for combination or multi-drug treatments or as imaging agents for cancer. These attributes lead to greatly improved prognoses for cancer patients. The technology has been protected by patents and has high potential for commercialization. The leader of the nanoparticle technology development has a long track record with drive and passion for products in healthcare. An earlier innovation of hers led to a product for osteoarthritis, which has been sold in the US since 2012. The medical research team I know has invested a huge effort in preclinical studies to measure how effectively and safely the nanoparticles target and kill cancer cells. Both groups have a fine track record with many publications and have produced a string of successful postgraduates. Is this the kind of work that should be shut down midstream? When I heard that several other medical research groups and their postgraduate students depend on the customised nanoparticles, it got me thinking about the wider effects of funding cuts on research projects. The more I thought about it, the more concerned I became. Now, funding cuts aren't new. You might remember in 2014, the incoming Abbott government announced cuts of $400 million from research institutions, placing Australia's research and development investment at its lowest point in 30 years. We were told that Australia's budget was in peril, but this meant that the CSIRO had to make major excisions to its research programs with the loss of hundreds of jobs. It might be easy for bean counters to delete expenditure lines on budget documents, but it's important to consider the knock-on effects of wielding the axe like this. First, and obviously, scientists can lose their jobs. A funding cut can be the final blow to the viability of research programs which already run on tight budgets. Much of the work they've done will remain unfinished. This is a disheartening outcome for them and potentially wastes funds already invested. But there can be a knock-on effect when contingent research groups are hurt. For example, when the group developing novel nanoparticles is disbanded, it leaves several collaborating teams in limbo because they can no longer source the materials to conduct their experiments. Trials testing nanoparticles to carry chemotherapy would stop, and we'll never know if this new technology will work in cancer patients. Trials of nanoparticles to carry pain relief cannot proceed, leaving chronic pain patients in limbo. For the researchers on these projects too, all that work, painstakingly built layer upon layer, those hypotheses tested, those concepts explored, are lost. Interim results might be published in peer-reviewed journals and presented at scientific meetings, but to have the work truncated before the endpoint is reached can be devastating to those who've invested a lifetime of enthusiasm and hard slog. A further knock-on concerns research groups which are not publicly funded in part or at all, and which depend on the original nanoparticle manufacturing group. They rely on donations from everyday people eager to help solve the problems of treating our intractable illnesses. They might have watched a friend suffer and possibly die and want to improve this distressing situation for others. Their donations might be small in amount, but they're large in goodwill and sacrifice. These people must not be ignored, because they represent precious social capital in our community, and the results of the research they support will benefit everyone. They're making their contribution in the only way they can and encouraging our scientists with their votes of confidence. Take away a vital component up the line and this confidence is slapped in the face. When your research program is threatened by an abrupt cut, what do you say to these loyal supporters? That their contributions have been for nothing? Our Prime Minister pushes innovation, or used to, but how can we foster an innovative culture in Australia when our peak research body and other groups suffer the blows of funding cuts? We already know that security of tenure for even senior scientists can be fragile, but discouraging scientists and the reputation of science and their protégés does nothing to develop an innovative culture. So a plea to our politicians and bureaucrats. Think not only of your bottom line when you delete an item in a budget spreadsheet. Consider the full implications, the ripple effect if you like, on the network of our dedicated scientists and the ever-hopeful, trusting and generous community on whom they depend.
Sally Smith, medical researcher on the sliding doors in life and history.